Blog Talk Radio.
52-yard try from the near hash mark to tie the game. 5 seconds left. Reyes the holder. Burns the snapper. It's back. Hold down. Kick is up. And it's plenty long. It's good! It's good! The Red Raiders have tied this game. They've come back from 38-7 down and sending it to overtime.
Crabtree on the jailbreak. Here he goes. The 40, 35, 30, 25, 20. Forget it. Five. Touchdown, Red Raiders.
High snap, but he gets it away cleanly, although it's a wobbly kick. Morris takes it as 14. Sidestep one defender. He's got room to the 25, 30, 35, 40. Just the kicker to beat. The 40, 30, 25, 20, 15, 10, 5. Touchdown, Red Raiders.
8 seconds left. They got one timeout, so there's time to make one play to the middle of the field and call a timeout to set up a try, a field goal try. So Harrell in the shotgun from the 28. The throw goes to the right side for Crabtree. It's caught.
Oh, he breaks. Touchdown, Red Raider.
Unbelievable.
Michael Crabtree has done it. Michael Crabtree makes the catch at the five, breaks the tackle, and scores.
There's still 1 second on the clock, but Texas Tech, unbelievable, Michael Crabtree.
Oh, my gosh, can you believe that?
What's up, everybody? What's going on? Welcome into this week's edition of the Victory Bells podcast. Actually, the first summertime edition this year of the Victory Bells podcast, so hope all you guys are enjoying your summertime as things get started, and I'm Will McKay, and as always, joined by my main man, Matt Clare. What's going on, Matt?
Nothing much, man. How you doing, Will?
Doing great, man, doing great. And we're not going to take too much time, you know, messing around and, you know, introducing things, because we've actually got one of, you know, Texas Tech's commits on the line. Speaking of things going on this summer with 7-on-7 and, you know, taking visits and hanging out and all that kind of stuff, and the guy we've got on is Western Keith tight end and the Tech commit Dante Coleman. So I guess first off, Dante, thanks so much for coming on, man.
Appreciate it.
Absolutely. I guess first off, man, just kind of recap the spring for us, man, and just kind of talk about just kind of how things went, you know, throughout the spring and just kind of how you felt spring ball went and all that kind of stuff.
It went good overall. You know, we got a young football team and, you know, definitely big spots to fill and people gone. So I think it went good. Definitely a step in the right direction.
What about with spring? I mean, it's a big thing here in Texas. You get a certain amount of time to, like you said, if you got a young team or if you've got things to work on while you're transitioning in preparation for that next year. I mean, are there certain things maybe that you were trying to work on individually, you know, as you know that the team's changing or that you guys are getting younger going into next year?
Yeah, a little bit.
Routes, I yep. mean, you know.
Big yeah, routes. It's really, you know, trying to really just learn the system. You know, we had our OC leave. Mm-hmm. So really just trying to see, get fit for the system.
Yeah, right. And obviously, man, with you guys having, you know, 7-on-7 tourneys and all this kind of stuff, I know you guys just had one of those. So I guess what kind of an opportunity is that for, you know, you guys to be able to, you know, go out there and kind of, even if it's just, you know, the back seven and skill guys and quarterbacks and all that kind of stuff, I guess just kind of how good of an opportunity is that for you guys to just kind of get better chemistry and, you know, just kind of, you know, hang out and do all that kind of stuff?
Yeah, definitely. You trying to work with the quarterback. You know, we had our quarterback, you know, Chasen Berger, he's gone.
Yeah.
So it definitely gives you time to work with the quarterback, you know, get chemistry with him and other receivers. So it's good. It's definitely good to see what people can do.
Well, I know another big part of the spring and part of our last conversation was, you know, coaches coming through, showing interest. I know that you were highly recruited before you committed to Texas Tech, so I assume that coaches didn't just lose your phone number or stop sending you messages. So what's the latest and greatest on that? I mean, you know, obviously coaches still show interest. You know, who's been coming through and who's been still, you know, recruiting you since your commitment to Tech?
Really, I have to say Texas, Cal, Nebraska, schools like Iowa, TCU, area, et cetera, a little goes on, but yeah, they all still out there.
Okay, and what's cool. That, I mean, sorry, Will, what's that, I guess,
no, you're good.
Obviously, you know, when you make a commitment, and we talked about this a little over the phone, but I mean, how's that conversation go? They're just like, hey, you know, keep us in mind, you know, we're still interested. I mean, well, how does the conversation go? Kind of take us through one of those, I guess.
Conversation with them, it goes, how can I, you know, first thing I ask, you know, how can I be used in the system? You know, crew talk, they'll tell you a lot of stuff, but, you know, for me, I need to see, you know, proof. And a lot of schools will say, you know, you come here and, you know, you can do this, you can do that. And so they see what they're saying is, you know, they'll use me all kinds of ways and, you know, et cetera. So it's not
right.
Too major.
Right. And I guess with Texas Tech, I guess, was kind of the proof for you, I guess, was a guy like Jason Morrow, because I know you've talked about that in the past. So, well, yeah,
yeah.
I guess whenever you committed to Texas, I mean, yeah, just talk about that, man.
Say that again?
I said, yeah, man, just kind of talk about that with Tech and just, you know, why was it kind of a fit for you and, you know, just kind of the role that, you know, a guy like Jason Morrow had in that.
It was a fit for me because I seen that in myself. I seen, like, okay, especially because Kingsbury said from myself, okay, I can come here, you know, I can do that, I can put up numbers and, you know, I can have fun doing it in a city, you know, in a city like Lubbock and, you know, the fans and all that. And so it was a great fit.
Now, I don't know, I mean, I guess it's been 3 or 4 months now, obviously, but last time we had you on the podcast, you know, we said we'd be doing more of these, so this marks number two, but, you know, one other thing we talked about was, you know, now that you're committed, you're talking to other kids about Tech, or, you know, we notice if another kid commits, you know, you guys are congratulating them on social media. I mean, give us an update on kind of how some of that stuff's going. You know, I know Tech's had 6 or 7 new commitments at least within the past, you know, few weeks. So are you reaching out and connecting with these guys? Who are some of the guys that you've recently talked with now that are fellow commits?
People that I've talked to that are committed, I talked to Bryson when he first committed, you know.
Right.
I talked to him. I talked to QB, my QB for, you know, next year, 4 years. I talked to him when he first committed. I seen him around at camps and stuff. So, you know, I've seen him before. I talked to Gio Picotti from Houston.
Right,
yeah.
Gio, yeah.
Yeah, I talked to him the other day. I just seen Deleon Ward at the 7-on-7 tournament on Saturday. I talked to him. We good.
Let's talk about Jet because we're going to have him on. You know, and obviously that's for you, a tight end, and like you talked about many times in the system. You know, you're going to be getting some touches, going to be a big part of the offense. You know, you said you'd seen him around at some camps and you've met him and talked to him. But I guess what are your thoughts on Jet? And I guess, you know, how long have you, known him, or did you know him before?
Eric, you said it again. It sounded like you were breaking up.
No, sorry about that. I said, I guess, just tell us, you know, your impressions of Jet. And I think you said you ran into him at a few camps, but, you know, how long have you known him, and what are your thoughts on Jet?
Well, I always seen him, like, at camps and stuff, but, you know, I never really got a chance to really talk to him like that, you know. But, you know, he's gonna be good for us.
Okay.
Yeah, I guess from him, I guess, what have you kind of seen from him at camps, man, just watching camps and things like that, you guys kind of been around each other as far as, you know, what he can do, how he can throw it, all that kind of stuff?
He got an arm on him. He got a, you know what I'm saying, he got a nice arm on him, and I'm excited.
Yeah. Well, cool. I guess for you, man, I guess, what are kind of summer plans, and what do you just kind of have going on this summer in general?
This summer, it's more 7-on-7 team workouts, and I just perfected my craft, and I'm planning to go head out to Lubbock for about 2 weeks or maybe so. That's the plan, but nothing really major this summer.
Okay. Now, remind us, I know we've talked, you know, many times, but we often forget, who is your lead recruiter? Is it Coach Haverty out there in Mesquite?
Yes, sir.
Okay. You talking to Coach Haverty? Who else you touch base with on a regular basis?
Me and Coach Haverty, we talk a whole lot. Me and Coach Haverty, that's my dude, Coach Haverty. I talk to everybody, really, all the coaches. It's not just him.
I think last time when we connected, you said you'd talking to Kingsbury a little bit, and he had met Floyd Mayweather. You guys got to talk about that a little bit, right? I mean, you guys are just kind of getting to know one another then, huh?
Yeah, Coach Kingsbury is real, real good, and I'm excited, and I just can't wait to play for him.
You said you're going to have it like that one day, right?
Cool, man.
I don't have any more questions.
I guess I was going to ask, man, like you said, you're going to maybe go out there in about 2 weeks for a visit or so. So I just kind of guess whenever you go out there, I guess, what are you kind of looking forward to, you know, seeing when you go out there and all that kind of stuff?
I'm really looking forward to how the players work, you know, really the players and what they do, you know, off time and just what they do out there and just really just the life out there.
Right. Okay. Well, cool. Good deal. Well, cool, man. That's all the questions I had for you. I don't think Matt had anything else. So, Dante. What was that? Oh, okay.
I have my own way.
I got you, man. Cool. Well, yeah, man, I guess, like we said, thanks so much for coming on with us, and really appreciate the quick couple minutes, and hope you have a good rest of your week, man.
Thank you.
Awesome. Thanks, Dante.
See you later, Dante.
All right, thank you.
Cool. Once again, that was West Mesquite commit Dante Coleman, and good to have him on. Haven't had him on or talked to him a whole lot over the last, the last couple weeks, but I know from the Red Raider Confidential, from us getting in touch with him, that and like he just said, there's still a lot of schools coming after him, Texas, TCU, Iowa, and a bunch of other schools. So, I think he's definitely going to be a kid that is really blowing up as things roll along here, Matt.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think the way he answered that, you know, what he meant there was he wants to know how they're going to use him, and if they don't have a really great answer to that, then there's no reason that he sees to change his mind, because he's really bought into that role that the coaches want him to play, and he's excited about, you know, being a unique feature in that offense as a prospect that can play that tight end position, but also isn't, you know, so huge just now to where he couldn't also help out in other ways, you know, along that offensive front. So I think it'll be an interesting fit. You know, again, it's hard to project these guys out, you know, so far away.
It
but
is,
again,
yeah.
You know, just from what I've seen from him, and hopefully you and I get to go see him a little bit more, but just really what we see out of this spread offense from these type of guys, whether you want to call him a big Y or you want to call him a tight end, just really going 5-10 yards, sitting in that zone and moving the chains and being that safety blanket for the quarterback. And having that in your offense just kind of makes everyone else around you better, including that quarterback. And, I mean, you saw it last year without Jason Morrow. The quarterbacks were forced into some bad decisions, maybe even forced into some bad throws and caught, you know, staring downfield a few times. So, it obviously, everyone would like to have a Jason Morrow on their team. I'm not providing that simple analysis, but having someone that can run those inside routes and someone who can go over the middle and sit in those zones, especially in the Big 12. I mean, you look around the conference, it's all spread out, so you've got to differentiate yourself some way and somehow. So I think it's a great piece to have, and this guy's all about Texas Tech right now. So be interested to kind of learn more about Jet Duffy. I mean, we ask those questions, but don't get too many responses. But it should be good to learn more about him and how he's kind of incorporated himself with these other wide receiver commits as well.
Yeah, and the thing with Dante, I mean, like he said, you know, he was the one that was saying, you know, I'm excited to play for, you know, Coach Kingsbury. I'm excited to, you know, for Jet to be my quarterback, all this kind of stuff. I mean, he's definitely, you know, he's invested in Texas Tech from everything he says and all those kind of things. And he's just a kid that's good at this, one of those prospects like Corey Dauphine was last year and guys you've had in the past where teams aren't just going to stop coming after them. And you're going to have to fight for them, and that's just how it's going to be whenever you have top prospects, you know?
No doubt.
Yeah.
But that's also why that is in demand, though, too. I mean, obviously,
sure.
I think every program in Texas would like to have a Caden Smith who is that, you know, already big guy. But I think the potential with Dante to be that big guy as well, but also versatile, it brings a really good element to Tech because, you know, everybody wants to have that big box right in. But even Amara was, I hate to say on the lighter side, but even going into the NFL draft, you remember that's why he was rated behind the Ebrins of the world because he didn't have that the size that those guys had. So even if it's not prototypical or even if it's a little bit of a variance, I mean, I think that'll work well for Tech.
Yeah, and I think whenever you have coaches like Coach Kingsbury and Coach Morris and Coach Jinks and Coach Shev and all these other guys, they know what to do with the guys they have, and they know how to adjust the offense around the playmakers they had. You know, something interesting I was doing, and I'm kind of thinking about doing a piece about it, is I went back just kind of, you know, for kicks and gigs the other few days ago and watched the 2013 SMU game and then watched the Baylor game last year. And you can definitely tell that the coaches have really kind of molded things around the guys on their roster. And it's not – yeah, I mean, yeah, the formations and some of the plays are the same, but they definitely run things differently based on the personnel they have in there for sure. So, I mean, yeah, I think it's just worth noting that whenever they have certain guys in here, I think they're a smart and savvy coaching staff that understands how to adjust what they're doing to their personnel, which with a guy like Dante, I mean, you basically have to say, here's the ball, go get it with a guy like that. But like you said, we're waiting on Jet to call in, may or may not get him. I think he's having a little trouble kind of getting free, so may or may not have him. So with satellite camps starting up on this upcoming Sunday, just here in a couple days, you know, that's kind of my favorite time of year. Get to go out on the road for an entire week and just see, you know, almost, I would say, you know, 600-700 prospects just kind of run through, you know, a bunch of drills at Tech. I get to look at guys, figure out who they're interested in as far as, you know, guys they haven't offered yet but they wanted to get a look at. And just were always really exciting for me. And I'm really ready to, you know, get to cover all of them. And I know you're always excited to get to cover a couple of them, Matt.
Yeah, no doubt. I mean, and I think what we've seen, whether it's this coaching staff or others, but the satellite camp thing is 4 to 5 years, new. I want to say four, right? Three or four. Anyway.
Yeah. It's four.
So you're starting to see some of that timeline. And I just think the satellite camps, it's just like this hot button debate, right? But that's the schools like, you know, Michigan and Alabama beefing over this. A school like Texas Tech, I mean, they really can go find some diamonds in the rough, some underrated players. I mean, all the examples that we always provide. But I think just, you know, when you look at 2016 alone and you look at the fact that, you know, David Gibbs likes to see these kids in person, likes to kind of put them through the motions on the field and see how they move, and we're still learning about his tendencies and his type of player. We just had another cornerback offered who, I mean, definitely fits that bill, completely underrated, completely unknown, I guess, the Marcus Fields kid out of Taylor, Texas, with only maybe a few, you know, mid-tier offers right now. So, again, we're going to have to find out a lot more about that. But if we have the same conversation in 2 weeks, yes, you're going to have seen 600 to 800 prospects. But I think also we'll have 15 to 20 is generous, but at least 10 new offers, in my opinion.
At least 10.
Whether they're right away or if they're a few days after. But, I mean, we always talk about how coaches go out, they recruit, they all come back, watch tape together. Well, now they're all together. You know, they're all together. They're going to watch these kids in person. They're going to talk to them. They're going to do all these things. So, I mean, there's not a whole lot of wait and see with some of that. And And really with these camps, they're inviting kids because they want to see them and because they want to evaluate them in person. So for me, that's what I'm looking for. I think we all kind of understand what they're doing with offense, whether we know exactly how many prospects they want at a certain position. You know, I think that we see what's going on there. Now, of course, they're going to be looking for linemen that stand out, you know, but I think overall what you're going to see is a lot of kids on the defensive side start to maybe emerge and start to get a few offers.
I mean, well, hell, Tech got two of their defensive linemen based off of their camp performances last year. I mean, you're looking at Lonzo Gilmore as a defensive end, at slash outside linebacker at that time, but him and then Broderick Washington. I mean, as far as Broderick goes, no one had ever really seen him play much defensive line. So at that camp, they said, hey, man, why don't you just line up over here and we're just going to run into these drills and see what we think, because I know the coaches were already interested in him as an offensive lineman, as a guard at that point. But they said, you know what, why don't you just run through these defensive drills because we like you as an athlete. And that's whenever they, you know, they jumped on board with that. So I think they got two really good kids that, if you talk to Mike Smith, two kids he expects to be, you know, pretty, you know, big, not necessarily this year, but, I mean, two of his, you know, bigger pieces down the road.
Yeah, and, you know, you mentioned Gilmore. That was my – I don't know if that was last week or the week before. That was my, you know, kind of everyone has them, right? You know, you tell on yourself a little bit. And, I mean, I said the same thing to you at that camp. And then after the camp when we were doing our write-ups, like, you know, anything that you say or it's your opinion, I'm going to roll with it. You know, we're coworkers. I trust your evaluations, all that good stuff, right? But, I mean, at the time, you know, we had our back and forth. And so I just don't see it with Gilmore. I mean, I think he's a tweener and blah, blah, blah. And then the kid, you know, had a tremendous senior season, so color me wrong and shame on me, blah, blah, blah. But it just kind of goes back to really understanding how long of a cycle this is and how important it is not to, you know, it's so easy to me, I think, to focus. Let's use Marcel Southall as an example. Well, you know, now that he has almost 20 offers from every college you could name, you know, with a big name and all that good stuff, you know, yeah, Tech was the first offer and all that. You know, we're not beating that drum. But I guess it's easy to find those kids, right? You know, I am just a recruiting analyst. I can walk up to a camp or a high school practice and say, wow, that kid is 6'4", 300 pounds. You know, what's his deal? I mean, it doesn't take a genius, right? I mean, it takes just getting on the road and building some relationships to find some of these other guys. And I'll be interested to see, you know, some of the offers that you've seen go out lately, there's not been a lot of them, but it seems like they've been, you know, really focused on those kids for 3 to 4 weeks, kind of building a relationship, and they've been consistent. They haven't been like, you know, some programs you see will, you know, come into Texas and they'll make 15 offers in one day. You know, it hadn't been like that. So there's a lot of offers, but I mean, lately on defense, it seems like they're getting a little more specific.
Yeah, and just kind of, you know, an interesting way to kind of look through this whole process of how this works, for me, is a guy like Caesar Williams, who's a cornerback that Tech's looking at, hasn't offered, but they're really interested in. And, you know, they started building a relationship with him, you know, a couple months ago, and went and saw him kind of run through stuff in the spring, and they were like, okay, we're interested. And now that as they keep building a relationship, they said, why don't you come out to the camp? And if we like what we see, you know, we might offer. So that's really kind of how I think the process goes as far as kids they're really, really interested in.
Yeah, no doubt, no doubt. And that's why it'll be just so important to, you know, not only review or read the camp overview that's provided, but also just kind of take some of those names and lock them away for a while because due to the fact that Tech isn't offering them right away, it just doesn't mean anything at that moment. And I think especially on the defensive line, we'll see what happens. We just said we don't know what Gibbs' tendencies are. I mean, if he's a kid and he really likes them, I think, of course, they'll offer. But I guess, you know, from my experience, it seems like they'll, you know, let it play it out a little bit. But I think what's important, too, is you look at especially that Longview camp. You know, you mentioned Broderick, and I kind of teased it on that video a few weeks ago. I think Jeremy West could be, you know, version 2.0. He doesn't have any offers.
Yep.
Well, he has some D2 offers and mid-major, but, I mean, he's another kid who played very well when I saw him on the offensive line at a camp, but he mentioned that Tech is specifically recruiting him at defensive line. And then the same thing goes for a kid like Clarence Henderson out of Skyline. So it really just depends. You know, you go back to even the Coleman, and it's the pitch. It's what they're saying to these kids. It's how they're selling them on their role once they get here. And, you know, it just depends. Every kid's different, you know. And it's not a gimmick. I mean, I'm not saying what works and what doesn't. But when they touch these kids and they build that rapport, kid really start to dig the idea of coming to play defensive line in the Big 12. Have a great day at the camp. Gibbs gives the thumbs up, and you could have a commit in 2 weeks. So it can work pretty quickly as well.
Yeah, it can. It can for sure. And I'm trying to think back to, last year. And another big component to this is kind of like you said, is really looking at, you know, the guys that are juniors and going to be seniors in a year. You know, guys that are 2017 prospects. Like for example, last year, and you can correct me if I'm wrong, but I'm pretty sure this is right, Matt. Going back to last year, I think Gene DeLance was at the Lancaster camp, and there weren't a whole lot of people that knew who he was at that point. And then Tech and a couple other schools ended up offering him, I think, 4 or 5 months after that camp in maybe October, if I remember. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm talking about? You remember what I'm talking about?
No, I do.
Yeah, and I think that's
there,
a really good example.
Yeah,
and I think that's just a really good example of, you know, them, while they're looking at kids for this class, I think they really uncover a lot of their top prospects for the next class that way too.
Yeah, well, and even with 2017 is interesting too, because it's this staff, and I think it might be more so on the offensive side of the ball because they've been together a little longer. But they're not afraid. Obviously I'm covering more than one school now, so I see differences. But Tech's not afraid to take a flyer on a 2017 offer. You know, they don't tell kids, we're being very slow. You know, I mean, they don't do that. You know, they see a kid, they like a kid, they offer him, right? So, and it's different with every prospect, if you will, or different positions. But I think it'll be pretty interesting to see some of those offers that go out for underclassmen too, because – For all the rhetoric that you see on our board and the conversations with fans, which is all understandable because, you know, after 4-8 and you know, losing a few late commitments and this, that, and the other, I mean, it's definitely okay to be frustrated. But I guess I don't want it to get lost in the mix, especially during this camp season. I mean, these coaches, you know, they have been out in front with offers for a lot of these prospects that have blown up. I think Gene DeLance,
a lot of kids.
Gene is a perfect example, and I think that the more
Marcel,
I mean,
Southall.
I guess, yeah, Marcel Southall. I mean, I guess my point is it's very, very important to me to see what happens afterwards with the defensive offers. That's what I'm interested in.
Yeah,
arguably. Right. Well, yeah. I mean, I guess depending on, you know, who counts back
close
or who does what.
Yeah.
I think. Me, personally, I think you'll see two more outside receivers taken, and if the kid is talented enough, prospect's talented enough, they'll add another receiver there. I mean, but I don't know. I mean, the JUCO kids, I don't necessarily count them for 2016 just yet, but we'll see. But, yeah, I mean, for me, that's the first thing I'm looking for is I want to see the type of defensive talent that shows up, and then I want to see what happens next with offers. Because I think that it's easy for you and me to put up a list of, you know, okay, Malik Jefferson showed up. All right, whatever.
Yeah.
He's not committing to Tech. You know what I'm saying? Well, I'm just being real with people. And then, like, this kid showed up, this kid. Well, okay, cool. You know, that's nice of him. But, you know, let's be honest. I mean, who are the kids that they're really, you know, in the mix for? So that'll be what I'm interested in tracking, because I think that the guys that, you know, on the offensive side, they've been together long enough. They know what they want. And I don't think they're after too many, you know, sleepers, unless just some gigantic offensive lineman shows up.
No, I would agree with that. And yeah, I mean, I just don't think they're going to offer anybody, for the most part, that they don't think that can play at Tech. And I think they've done – and I know we've gone over it over and over and over and over again. I just think they've done a great job of evaluating talent up and down the board, especially on offense so far. And I think, like you said, I think now the most interesting thing will be – getting to watch David Gibbs and those guys coach and evaluate, and then what they do once they see all these guys at the camps. And kind of like you said, another facet to all these camps and something that, you know, we'll obviously put lists together of are guys that just kind of show up as visitors and not participants. For I guess for you guys out there that don't know much about satellite camps, basically they'll just kind of let their top kind of prospects that they're kind of after that already have offers and they don't need to see run through drills, they'll just kind of let those guys come and hang out and just kind of get a good look at things. And it's a really good opportunity for the coaching staff to show kids what they do as far as in an actual coaching environment. I mean, last year, how many commits from last year did we end up with hanging out? I mean, Christian Taylor was hanging out at the one of the Houston camps. And then he wasn't. That's what I'm saying. And then thing at the Lancaster camp. Connor Dyer, Madison Akinonu, and a couple other guys were hanging out at the Lancaster camp that ended up committing. So, it's just a great opportunity for the coaches to show off, you know, what they do on the field.
Yeah. And it'll be an interesting year, too. I mean, you have different storylines, right? I mean, last year we had the whole thing that we went through where it was like, you know, aiming for the stars and we're going to cash out after a successful season. Well, that didn't happen, right? So now you got 4-8. And then after reading Aaron's column today about, you know, the juice and about, you know, this year is big for Kingsbury and all that, I mean, I think there's going to be there'll be an interesting look after this season to see what has happened because, you know, Kingsbury is a tech guy. He's one of us, right? But, I mean, at the end of the day, you can't, you know, the fans aren't going to want another losing season. So it'll be funny, not funny, it'll be kind of funny and interesting to see how the season progresses and how those opinions are formed. But also from a recruiting standpoint, if they do begin to show progress and they do begin to have their guys build experience and gain more traction and more playing time and grow and mature as players and have that success, what will that say to recruits then that have been told, oh, these guys are young, they're not winning, they don't know what they're doing, blah, blah, blah. I mean, so there's a lot to be said about what happens next and then also looking back to see, you know, who was where. So I don't want to beat that dead horse anymore, but that's just kind of what it is right now. I mean, you got those kids that will show up and hang out. And what's funny is they've been recruiting some of these guys like a Jack Anderson. I don't think he'll work out. Why would he work out, you know?
No. Nope.
He's got like 30 offers.
And he did last year.
Yeah, so I mean, it'll just be one of those things where I think you'll see multiple kids show up. And what's crazy is I put together a list of camps. There's a camp literally every day. If a kid wanted to go and had an extra $200, he could go to a camp every day this week in Houston, every day.
Yep.
So it'd be interesting to see, like, okay, well, what kid is at this one? What kid is at that one? So on and so forth. What are their plans? So it'll be interesting. There's a couple of defensive backs that people should, you know, probably pay attention to, or positions, right? Defensive backs, offensive line, and maybe linebacker. Yeah, well, certainly defensive line. I mean, obviously, that's a hot commodity, and I do think the 2016 class as a whole, obviously it's top-heavy, but I think as a whole it's a little underrated because I think there's quality prospects that can come in at both defensive tackle and defensive end, much like a Gilmore and much like a defensive prospect
Washington,
yeah, more or less. Obviously, he was an offensive lineman, but even these guys ranked a little lower, you know, they're not scrubs, right, just because they're not four-star.
Like
so,
Ross Blacklock.
Oh, absolutely, yeah. I mean, that's a guy that's coming to visit in a few weeks. I saw him again yesterday. So, you know, it'll just be interesting to see how all that plays out.
For sure. And speaking of one of, you know, Texas Tech guys and one of their guys for the future, we've actually got one on the line with us right now, and that would be Texas Tech quarterback commit in Mansfield Lake Ridge, dual threat QB, Jed Duffy. So Jed, I guess, first off, man, just how you doing today?
I'm doing good. Doing real well.
Good deal, man. I guess, just how's everything been going for you here these last couple of weeks? And I guess, are you out of school yet, or you still got about a week left?
This is the last week. This is it for the school year.
So you're ready to be done, right?
Yes, I'm very ready to be done. It's been a long year,
man. For sure. Well, cool, man. Yeah, I guess just kind of how's everything been going overall, I guess, the last couple of weeks and spring football, and I guess just kind of how do you feel like everything went?
Everything's been going well. Basically, according to plan, since like the eighth grade, and then trying to plan out my all 4 years of high school, and it's just been going to plan, like the Elite 11, getting invited into the finals, getting that offer I've really been wanting, and then committing before my senior year began to a great school and a great program, and being able to graduate early after the first semester. It's just everything's been going right to plan, and been great.
Well, Jed, this is Matt Clare. I think Will and our other guys have interviewed for the most part. So, you know, nice talk to you for the first time today, and congrats on everything that's happened that you just described. And it's good to see a plan, go through, huh?
Yes, sir. It feels great.
Well, and on top of that, man, I know you said school's ending this week, but I guess the cherry on top is you're headed to the left coast and you're going to do some more competition. Maybe tell us a little bit about that. What all does that entail, and what are you going to be getting into?
This Friday, I fly out to California for the Elite 11 semis. The Elite 11 semis is for people that haven't been invited to the finals already. Since
right.
I already made it to the finals, they just want everyone to go and want all of us to be together so they can work with us before the finals. So I'll be going down there the 5th through the 7th, and then in July for the 5th through the 11th for the Elite 11
right.
finals, competing out there.
Right. Now, I wanted to ask you, you were given some praise, I guess, last week. You're the first one to turn in your essay. I'm somewhat familiar with this process, but tell me a little bit more. What all goes on with that? I mean, is it off the field related, football related? I mean, what all goes into this essay that you had to write?
In the essay, we had to write the reasons why we love football and a moment in our life that we faced the most adversity. Also, with that, we also had to turn in four leadership questions. We asked, what's our greatest strength as a leader? What's our greatest weakness? How would my teammates describe me, and how would my family describe me? And then we had to just turn all that in by June 3rd, and they sent it to us that day. So I was just like, I'm going to get it done, and not hold it off. And that's
yeah.
really what it is. And they, with the Elite 11, they do a lot of examining, and they like to see people compete, and they like to see people get things done, and they like to sit back and see how people react to different stuff and how it's, what they do in different situations. So I was just like, I need to go ahead and get it done. So I just did it.
Well, everybody has different tendencies and ways they get things done. For me, ironically enough, I write 8 to 10 different stories per week, but there are some nights where I've got writer's block and I might stay up all night because I just don't feel like writing at the time. Did you just jump right into it, or did the thoughts come pouring out? I mean, was it pretty easy to do, I guess, in your opinion?
It was really easy. As soon as I got the email, I read the email and was just like, okay, just describing my life and what I love to do and different things like that. So, and it didn't really take a lot of thought.
Good deal, man. Sorry, Will. I was curious about that. I wanted to dig in.
I wanted to ask some things too about it. I guess just kind of going into it, man. I guess, are there any of the other quarterbacks you're going to be competing with and hanging out with? Or are there any of those guys or any of those guys that you've started to get to know or anything?
Yes, I know a couple of them. We like the quarterbacks in Dallas. Nick Starkle, Tristan Wallace,
mm-hmm.
Seth Green. I know Derek King, Jalen Hurts from Houston, Devin Williams from this area. We all talked together. Messiah DeWeaver,
yeah.
Dwayne Haskins, Jarrett. Who else? That's it. Those are all the ones,
cool.
main ones I know. And, oh, yeah, Shane Bouchel from Arlington.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Right. Cool. I guess how cool is it for you, man, knowing that, there's so many guys from Texas and so many guys that, you either play against or play around. How cool is that, knowing that you're going to get to compete against those guys for, a kind of national thing?
It feels great. It's just, you know, just competing with my friends and competing with people I know and great competition, and just for it to be on like a national stage, even better. So yeah, it's a great feeling, and you know, I'm ready for it.
Right, for sure. Well, cool, man. It's also been, you know, about a month now or so since you committed to Texas Tech. So I guess just kind of how things been going with the Tech coaches and Coach Kingsbury, and what have you heard from those guys here lately?
You know, I have my, you know, phone call with them weekly. I talk to them. They want me really involved in recruiting. So I've been, you know, talking to a lot of top prospects for Texas Tech, just getting to know them and letting them know that, you know, I'm ready to compete, ready to go down there to Lubbock to play. Coaches staff has just been talking to me every day, showing that they, you know, they really want me there and that they're really excited, and it's something I, you know, really appreciate. So, you know, I just let them know that I'm ready to go down there in Lubbock and, you know, compete for Lubbock and compete for the program and for my team. So, you know, that's really how it's been going.
Yeah.
And who do you, from the coaching staff, who do you usually connect with, Jet?
I talk to Coach Morris, Coach, and Coach Kingsbury mainly.
Okay. And I know, I want to say, if I remember correctly, I know you're busy this weekend, obviously, but is it the following week or sometime in June you're going to get out to Lubbock?
Yes, sir. I'll be out there, I believe, in June, probably around like the 15th through the 17th.
Right.
Yeah.
So I guess kind of knowing that you know, you've made the commitment, but you haven't yet kind of seen things up close, what are you most excited about kind of seeing when you get out there and you get face-to-face with some of these guys?
I'm mainly excited to see the town. Also, I'm ready to see the football field, the facilities, just the entire campus as a whole, because, you know, a lot of people speak very highly of Lubbock, and I'm just ready to go down there and see it and just go around and soak it all in.
And, you know, we touched on the Elite 11 stuff off the top. I know a little bit about it. I know one thing for sure is they emphasize the X's and O's and knowing your reads and knowing where to go with the football, you know, quickly. Now, talking to Kingsbury and talking to Morris, I know you guys aren't already up on the whiteboard doing plays and stuff, but are they talking to you a little more about the offense? Are they teaching you a few things, or are you guys still just kind of chatting right now?
We're chatting, but Coach Kingsbury and Coach Morris understand that, you know, my offense at the school that I'm at right now, we have the same exact offense and we run the same things. So it's a similar look, but on a higher scale at Texas Tech.
Right.
Okay. Gotcha.
Well, cool, man. I guess on top of that, there's something you kind of had said about, you know, starting to recruit other players and all that kind of stuff. I guess, what have you kind of been saying to guys you've been talking to, you know, trying to recruit guys, you know, recruit guys to Tech? And I guess just kind of who are some guys you've really been talking to quite a bit?
I've been talking to Jack, TJ Vasher.
Okay.
I've just been telling them that, you know, when I go to Lubbock, I'm going to be ready to compete and I'm going to need top guys with me. And that, you know, Texas Tech is a great program with great coaching staff and coaching staff that really cares and that understands how to win. And we just need the talent and the people that are willing to win.
We just talked to Dante Coleman a minute ago. What about guys like that and Daleon Ward or anybody else, I guess, committed to Tech? I see you, you know, like you said, you know, the coaches want you involved with the recruit. I see you, you know, congratulating Braden over the weekend, other guys. I mean, there's been a number of commitments. You know, who do you stay in touch with, I guess, with the guys that are already in the class with you?
TJ Vasher, he's a top prospect that's coming in. I talked to a couple guys, you know, after they've committed and, you know, told them congratulations, welcome to the family, you know, glad to have them. So
Okay. Well, cool. Well, that's all I had, Matt. You got anything else?
No, sir.
Man. It's a pleasure getting to talk to you. Like I said, Jet, and go show them what's up in L.A. I know you said you've already made the finals, but I guess you're going to be there for support or you know, doing some more competing yourself. So good luck and have fun with that. You earned it.
All right, thank you.
Awesome, awesome. Right. Jet, same thing for me. Thanks so much for coming on, man. And, again, have fun this weekend. Good luck with all the Elite 11 stuff, man. And hope you have a good summer, man. Thanks so much for coming on.
Okay, thank you. Have a good day.
Awesome. Thanks, Jet. You too.
Bye.
Once again, that was Tech quarterback commit and Mansfield Lake Ridge prospect, Jet Duffy. And I always really enjoy getting to talk to him, man, because there's just so much he's very – I don't know how to word it. I guess he's very solid in what he thinks, what he knows. There's not much hesitation, I guess, in what he says and what he thinks.
Yeah, I guess it's a good thing to have in your quarterback, right?
Yeah, for sure.
That's my first time talking to him, like I said. So, I'll take your word for it. And, you know, we'll have to have him on again and get to know him a little more. I don't think our schedule went the way we exactly planned it, but I think we did pretty well.
No, we did good, man. We did good, man. I guess before we shut this thing out, for all you guys listening out there, let's see here. Let me look it up. Yeah, I was just going to run through – camp schedule real quick and just real quick run through all this. Like I said, so satellite camp starts this upcoming Sunday with the Euless Trinity camp. That's kind of the North DFW camp. The second camp is on Monday at Lancaster, which is the South Dallas mini camp. So those are the two in DFW. And then on Tuesday the 10th, they head out – or wait, Tuesday the 9th, excuse me, they head out to Longview. For that one, that's always one of my favorite camps, probably the one that usually has the most talent. Then on Wednesday the 10th, they go down to Houston, where they'll be at Spring. That's a new one this year. Instead of Westfield, they're at Spring. On the 11th, they'll be at Mercer for the Sugarland camp, which is one that produced quite a bit of talent last year that we really enjoyed, Matt. And then the final one is just kind of the Central Texas camp, which is the New Braunfels camp, and that one is on Friday the 12th. So that's just kind of the schedule, just running down it. And yeah, I guess you got any closing thoughts on satellite camps before we shut this thing down?
Party in Houston.
Yeah, for sure.
I mean, not really.
Always,
I think we talked about them a lot, but it's going to be good. It's going to be a lot of kids I feel like are going to be out there because now these coaches have been in place for going on their third year and they've been building those relationships like we usually talk about. So. I think the goal of these things, especially as they get more and more popular, is just to get as many kids as you possibly can. I'm about to pull up to a Baylor satellite camp, so, you know, maybe get an idea of what the differences are or some of the similarities. But, you know, we'll see how it goes. I mean, these folks have been done very well for the program, so it's always an exciting week, and you get to take the tour, so it should be good stuff.
Absolutely. That's all we got time for this week. But once again, guys, thanks again for listening to the Victory Bells podcast. I'm Will McKay, and he's Matt Clare. Hope you guys have a great weekend and have a good summer.
See ya.